It's the bachelor lifestyle.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Bachelor Lifestyle from the BallerLifestyle.com. We're here to sort out just a messy season of The Bachelorette and kind of like coming to fruition what I have said all along. This woman knew who she was going to pick in episode one. This has been a wire-to-wire show. And also, I was vindicated last week in the guy that I said was going to be your next bachelor got the most heavy-handed, this guy's got to be the next bachelor edit I've ever seen on this show. They went out of their way to make one guy look so completely jilted, but have a great attitude about it. And just they built a hero. They're going to after the final rose comes, or when the men tell all come, mark my words, Andrew will be announced as the next bachelor, the football player from Vienna. We're going to talk about it all, cause I barely pay attention. You guys know that. I am joined now as always by the guy that really knows what's going on in the bachelor world, Jason Stewart. Jason, what's up?
Hello, everybody.
Yay.
So, Andrew definitely, unless they go rogue and just choose a random guy that wasn't on previous season, like they've done like a couple Ari. Times. Yeah. And, you know, the bachelor last year, Matt. I think he's got it if he wants it. And I think we left off last episode. I was thinking Trey, because he had just been sent home, but it's Trey or Andrew, and I think that you're right. I mean, this was an unusual ending to the episode. We've never seen like a post-Rose edit like this, and I think you're right. It all just like screams that they wanted to leave a great taste in the mouths of the viewers. So they could position this perfectly for the delivery.
She invited him back and he said, "Hey, I really appreciate it. I really do feel a strong connection with you, but I think you told me everything I needed to know. So thank you for your time, but no, thank you. I'm not coming back. I'm leaving." So he big dicked it, but also is the jilted guy. So he's really getting it both ways, where he looks like a strong alpha male, but at the same time he was rejected. And so you feel kind of bad for him. It was really masterfully done. Andrew is definitely the next bachelor.
I mean, there's a lot of room between now and the bachelor. I mean, we have a whole other bachelorette season to go through.
So who knows? That's a good point. But I'll just say I'm going to stick to it, because I don't know if you listened, but remember last week on this show, do you remember what I said
about
Andrew and how I said, you know who's going to be the next bachelor? Andrew. Well, I've been vindicated. They set it up for him to be the next bachelor. So barring somebody coming on the next
right
bachelorette and getting an even better edit, it's Andrew for sure.
And maybe Andrew will crash that bachelorette.
Yeah, maybe
that's
they'll
what they do nowadays.
Right. Or yeah, somebody will definitely crash, or they'll go back like 9 years in his Instagram and they'll see that he like insulted a fast food worker or something, and that would be
right.
Then he'll be canceled.
There's a lot of ground, a lot of landmines to avoid between now and the next bachelor season. But so as we've already kind of started, we started with the end of the show. We might as well just kind of button that part up. Like typically speaking, you know, next week is hometowns, and hometowns are a big deal on this show. They seem to make it a bigger deal every single season. Hometowns was made famous by Juan Pablo, who, looking back, took the show as, as, I don't know, what would you say, less serious as anybody has ever taken it, but he would use the hometowns not only as like a thing where he would take someone special, or he would go to meet their families, and it was a special thing because there was an emotional bond.
Yep.
But he used the hometowns as kind of like a bargaining chip, a quid pro quo. He would say things to women like, you know, next week is hometowns, you know, so, you know, and, but it would be almost like a, if you want the hometowns, maybe on this date, you'll cuddle with me or something. It was just a weird thing. So when I say hometowns, I'm mocking or mimicking Juan Pablo, whose English was a second language. He had the accent, and then kind of hometowns just in what it meant to him. It was much more of a bargaining chip than it was a special thing. But now Katie, she's got four guys to take to hometowns. She started the episode with seven dudes, so she had to trim it down to three. Luckily enough for her, I guess, not lucky, but she had already sent two dudes home before the rose ceremony. So she really only had to break one guy's heart at the rose ceremony, and it was Andrew. And Andrew, football player, Vienna, speaks in a British accent when convenient. He's from Chicago. He was raised by a single mom. He's got a great background, family background, everything. He definitely looks like a great bachelor candidate. He was taken by surprise. This show, to me, I don't care how well prepared you are for it. This show could be so cruel in that the subject, Katie, had him and everybody watching believing that he was going to go to hometowns.
Unbelievable.
The way she talked to him the last time they spoke.
Yep.
And then, you know, they were like making out and holding each other. And like, she had this thing in this episode where she basically told every dude that she spoke to that love is the priority. And then everything else, we'll just work it out. We'll just work it out.
Yep.
You know, we got the single father and that dynamic and the in-laws of the dead wife.
Yeah.
You know, love is first, and then we'll just work everything out.
Yeah.
Like, so she gave him that speech. Like, I don't know how he was completely blindsided.
Yeah, she was like, oh, fuck, I'll move to Vienna. Like all of it. Like, she was making future plans with him. And she's like, hey, if it doesn't work out, you know, if we can't have kids right away, no problem. I can wait a couple years. Like, it was an insane. I mean, I'm surprised she's not taking more shit for it, because she really pulled the old switcheroo on him.
And that's the thing. Like, as he was being let go, I kept waiting for it. Like, sometimes you'll get the bitter dude that'll be like, okay, I get it. Okay, I get it. You're falling for somebody on the show and it's not me. I got it. Mm-hmm. But why'd me along? Like, why were you so, like, she was just very, like, it just seemed intentionally leading him on to make him believe he's going to the next round. And you're right. I don't know if she's gotten a lot of shit on social media, because I don't traffic in the periphery of this show like a lot of people do. I don't do spoilers. So maybe she is getting a lot of shit for that, but he took it like a champ. Like, he didn't, there was no bitterness whatsoever. He was stunned and he was hurt. And then he circled back after the rose ceremony, which you never really see this, right? There was still like 5 minutes left in the show after the rose ceremony. You know, typically they'll like do like a toast with the people left, and then they just kind of tease the next week and that's it. Well, they went back to each of their rooms after the rose ceremony, and then Andrew knocked on her door and said, I mean, he said all the right things to be the next bachelor. He's like, look, I know it's not going to happen right now. I just wanted to leave the way, you know, we spent time together during the show. I want you to be smiling. I want there to be good feelings. And the mixed message that he did send, and you tell me if this is a contradiction or not. He left her an envelope with a message. It was kind of like a mocking of a date card that said, if you change your mind, I'm always here. Okay. That's a great one, right? So what she does is she reads that and she cries and then she sprints after him. Now, yeah. I don't know where he's going yeah. because he's got to stay at the resort and right. there's no, he's not leaving anywhere, but
the whole world was locked down at the time and they're in the middle of nowhere. They're not doing our thing where they should be driven away in a golf cart by a bellman. But there's a Cadillac, there's an Escalade there to round him up, and she races after him and does the old wait, like right. what change? Oh, I didn't know he was going to write me a note. I mean, he told me he was falling for me, and we made plans to move to Vienna together. But then he wrote me a note. I didn't know there would be notes.
but his message to her was. Up until he declined her, was I'm here if you change your mind. In other words, if the thing that you're working on right now doesn't work out, I'm here. So that's one message. So then, like as she's crying and wrapped up in the emotion of things, she's like, "What if we could work something out to where you stay?" Okay. In other words, there's like a fifth dude who does hometowns and
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I didn't even get that.
Yeah. And she's like, and he's like, you know, I want my wife to choose me first.
Fuck yeah.
You know, I don't want her to choose someone else.
That's big bachelor energy right there. So
it is. It's great. And mm-hmm. that's a great line. Like, but it kind of contradicts the, if you change your mind, I'm here. Like, yeah. I don't know how you could do both of those. But, like I said, he rejected her kind of offer to stick around. Which is unusual. We've never seen that. Yeah. So you're right. The takeaway from this episode is that Andrew raised his stock even more than it was. He's been kind of a hero of this season. I've liked him from the beginning. I like the way he stood his ground against a couple of the Right Reasons police. And I just liked the edit that he got the entire season. And you're right. I think he's definitely the leader in the clubhouse for the next Bachelor. So. That's the way it ended, and that was definitely the most interesting part of this freaking episode. I will never side with you when you call this show boring or episodes boring. But this was as slow
yes.
and as dull as it gets, and yeah. there's a reason. She sent home the three guys that were shitsters.
Yeah, she did. She did right? last week.
So without Aaron –
Trey
and our sociopath Hunter, there was zero drama. It was basically seven dudes who all like each other, who are all pulling for each other in some weird way, and there's no drama. So it's basically what you're left with is this episode of like loving dates and corny and cheesy shit that I'm sure housewives yep. across the country love, but yep. it just created no traction with me as far as interest.
Totally. It was so boring. It's just a boring, and like, she's just like wearing sweats and t-shirts all the time. I mean, it's just like, she just doesn't care. It's like this season is running out of steam in a hurry. And let's be honest, it's because she picked Greg in episode one when they bonded over their dead dads.
Well, I mean, so kind of what we're – what's that game called? What is it? Fuck, marry, or kill? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Have you ever played that game?
F, marry, kill, yes.
Mm-hmm. F, marry, kill, right? Yep. And you give them three women or three men or whatever, and yep. they choose. I think if you're going to play F, marry, kill here
yep.
and kill probably – not being a real relevant one, but you could just throw the painter Justin in the kill category because he's not interesting.
But they had a painting challenge this week, by the way.
yeah, they gave him a wheelhouse yeah. challenge yeah. this week. But I'll put Justin in the kill, but he's just so non-consequential, it doesn't matter. If I do have a fuck and a marry, and she wants to marry Greg, I think that's obvious.
Yes.
But she really wants to fuck Blake.
Yeah, she does. She does.
He's going to be around until the fantasy suite.
He is. He definitely is. And she's sex positive. That's why they were drawing. They were drawing pictures of labia this week because yeah. she's sex positive, and they want to. I don't know if you know that,
dude. Blake has at this juncture of the game, and it's honest. that he's not being disingenuous. He said, I don't love you yet. He's like, I think it's inevitable that I probably will, but I don't love you yet. And she's still like dripping wet when she sees him. Like, there's going to be a fantasy suites with Blake. And I think she's going to eventually choose Greg over.
Yes.
I don't know who. Maybe she. I can't see her dragging the single father to the very end. No. I mean, that'll be cruel and unusual. No.
Something
tells me she's got to dump him.
We knew as soon as we got the story of the dead wife. I mean, RIP. I don't mean to make light of it. This man suffered a major personal tragedy. We knew he was not, you couldn't just get rid of him right away. Like, he needs to stay around for a while. So we knew he'd get to hometowns, but I don't think he makes it to the fantasy suites. I mean, I don't, Michael A, sorry. There's no way that dude slings dick. He just doesn't. He's sorry. He's been out of the game a while. He just doesn't have the energy. Like, he can really throw it down in a fucking real that took my breath away sort of style. Like, Katie's sex positive, you know, she needs a man that can really hit those spots for her. And Michael A has none of that energy. There's no way, which is kind of surprising when she let Brendan, the hockey moron, go. My favorite. He's going to be great on Bachelor in Paradise. Because big, dumb, strapping dudes like that that play hockey, they can throw it down. Like, I figure she would have used him as much like she's going to use Blake for just a good, just good old-fashioned, sex-positive, just fucking in the fantasy suites. And she let Brendan go, which was a surprise to me.
Brendan, so I have thoughts on the single father that I'll give, but Brendan, to me, like, he kind of played it. He played it the way you're supposed to.
Totally.
If you're a man.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So this is the big thing about this episode. They spent, and that this is what, where you knew they had zero plot left, no drama. They spent the first 5 minutes getting testimonials from all the dudes about how important one-on-ones are. Because I don't know, if you don't know by now, it's really important to have a one-on-one.
Got to have that one-on-one. Brendan got no one-on-ones.
This significant time together. Yeah. Those are the important. So they must have spent 5 minutes with dudes talking about, on the couch, talking about how important one-on-one dates are. As if this wasn't, you know, season 22, episodes 8 or 9, where, we get it. We got that part. So Brendan and the virgin Michael have not gotten a one-on-one all season. Okay.
Yep.
So you knew something was going to come to a head with one of these guys, if not both. So the group date is announced after Greg had gotten the first one-on-one and just a god awful boring ass date that we could probably talk about, but as soon as they get to the group date, that's the key, because whoever she picks for the group date and then by what do you call it, subtraction, whoever the last one-on-one is, that's a significant one.
Yeah.
So she chooses Brendan to go on the group date, which means he will have gone every episode up into hometowns without any one-on-one time. The guy has gotten he hasn't gotten a lot of screen time at all.
No.
And when he is, he's cool dude. He's fine.
Cool dude. He's got that cool hair. He's a big dummy, you know, like, he's a big old dumb hockey dude. Like, he's great. He's my favorite.
He looks like really good. Like, he's handsome. Chiseled. He's got a lot going for him.
Yeah.
But he's gotten zero time with her. Like, they do cocktail moments and then group date moments, but he's gotten zero time with them. I'm thinking, if I'm a man, I want my, at least walk away with my dignity on this thing. And he did it, and I'm proud of him, because he, after he's not chosen for the one-on-one, he's like, what the fuck am I doing here? Why would I go on another group date and the, or even go to another rose ceremony. Like I've spent a total of 9 minutes with this chick.
Yep.
Why would I do that? So he goes to her room, and I mean, she acts shocked that he showed up and stuff. It was almost like he goes to the room and says a few words just about, you know, I know this is your journey, but I have feelings too.
Yeah.
Like, which makes perfect sense. And she's like, I get it. Yeah. We're just not there yet. And we can't really play catch up, and I'm going to say goodbye to you. And it was just kind of the way it was supposed to go. But I think he held on to his dignity. Like, he kind of chose his way out as opposed to just going along with all the shit that the show wants you to go along with and then getting like embarrassed at the end.
Yeah, totally. Like, it's no, he did himself solid. You know, he's not bachelor material. 'Cause I mean, there's just not going much going on between the ears, but he's great for Paradise because I mean, he's chiseled, he's tall, athletic, you know, he's hockey player. So, you know, he can throw down. He's going to tear it up in Paradise for sure.
He seems like no drama. Like,
yeah, he's kind of got a John Paul Jones vibe to him.
A little bit. Yeah. That John Paul is a little out there, but like Brandon just seems like a type that has just been crushing it for a long time. I'm sure he was like the local hockey great and was just getting girls and ladies left and right growing up. And he just has that vibe. Like, he's not too moved either way by this. Like, I could take this or leave this, which is great. So yeah. Brandon was the first to leave the show. So now we're down to six dudes. And like I said, Greg got the first one-on-one that was kind of an upset because he is the chosen one. He had already done a one-on-one. He got the first one-on-one, and then he got this one. Okay.
We learned this from Hunter.
Hunter predicted this. Yep. Yeah. We have to give the prognosticator Hunter credit before he kills a bank full of people at some point. So Greg goes on what seemed to me to be just like a walking through the wilderness date. I'm trying to even think of what the hell they did. I honestly was so bored with it.
So boring. I'm confusing him and Mike's one-on-one. And plus they're both real boring white guys. Mike's the virgin and he wears that giant crucifix. So he's easy to tell apart from the rest, but it was like, they did not, what'd they do? Nothing.
I honestly don't. Oh no. You know what they did? They set up, things. It was a Seattle theme. So I guess she's from Seattle. And they wanted to do Seattle things. So they had them like throwing fish back and forth. And then they were swallowing oysters that she choked on. And then they set up a football field and did something that is just so uninteresting. They played one-on-one football where she acted like she caught a kickoff and he had to tackle her. Oh my God. It was just awful.
Yeah.
So anyways, and she's like, football is a big deal in Seattle. And I'm thinking,
right.
It's one of the few cities in America
where football's a big deal.
Football's a really big deal. Seattle.
Well, you know, in Seattle, Jay, they have the 12th man, the crowd. The crowd is the 12th man. They're like, hey, we have 11 guys on the field. But the 90,000 people in the stands, you're number 12. You're also on the team because you yell a lot.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And and I'm not going to dismiss the Huskies and their proud program too. But there are many cities in this country where football is a big deal, other than the city I live in.
Jason, In Seattle, and I've only briefly been to Seattle. I haven't spent a lot of time there. In Seattle, do you know, because I know it is a port town. It is near on the sea. Is there any like fish markets in Seattle? And if you were to go to one, is there any chance if you're like, hey, I'd like to buy that salmon right there. Would the guy you bought it from, would he take it and would he fucking wing it real hard rugby style to another guy?
Yeah, that's exactly what they would do.
Oh, they do that there?
They do that. Oh,
who knew? I had no idea.
We've seen that a couple of times.
What a lucky guess I just made. I had no idea that they did that there. I was just guessing.
And Greg and Katie imitated that. And
oh, they did? They did it.
Oh, yeah. And then Katie got him. She got him pretty good. Like, he went to catch the body of this fish, and the tail, like, swung up and got him really good in the nose. It was pretty funny. But yeah, I'm glad that you tracked that one. But by the end of this date, it's basically Greg telling her that this entire experience has been frightening for him, and that the vibe that she picks up from him, like, she basically said, it just seems like you want to leave the show. And he's like, that's a vibe you're picking up on, this insecurity. I've been scared.
Yeah.
I was bullied when I was growing up. I was always a little kid. And it just takes a lot for me to let my guard down and be strong.
Yeah, they're like setting up like a fake drama there.
Yeah.
Like they're just looking for something.
She's like, well, before we end the date after the dinner, there's one thing we got to show you. And then they walk out. And what else do you know about Seattle other than it's big in football? And they throw fish at each other. What else do you know about Seattle?
Well, we've learned on the Baller Lifestyle podcast that there is a men's masturbation club there, Rain City Jacks, where dudes can go hang out and just take their clothes off and they just stroke away on their hogs with a bunch of other dudes. So, but I don't know. I mean, that's the second most well-known thing about Seattle. I'm going to guess that it might, and again, I haven't spent a lot of time there, maybe something to do with the weather.
Yeah. Cause, it rains in Seattle.
Yes. I've heard that
in the upper. Yeah. And, so they walk out of their room or whatever they are having dinner at. And they, rigged some, fake rain. So they had some kind of water machine, and Greg's acting like it's like he's watching Moses separate the seas. Like he thinks it's like this miracle that he's envisioning, like that he's watching. He's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like
Yes.
It's just water coming out of a machine or something.
Now I'm sorry, Jason. Our audience might be mad at me. I had this on, I watched this episode of The Bachelorette on my computer while I was also watching Kenley Jansen in the Dodger game go out to the mound with several cans of gasoline and an entire box of Ohio blue tip matches. So I wasn't paying attention. Was Greg's football performance anything reminiscent of Connor B's truly pathetic volleyball skill display?
Yeah, there just wasn't enough footage to detect that. Okay. But I think we already know. We already know Greg's athleticism because they played something earlier in the season that was basketball related.
Well, yeah, it was like rugby basketball where they all try to kill each other.
Or maybe even something. I remember seeing Greg do something that was athletic and thinking he's done that. Like he's much, much more athletic than the musician Catman. And Kenley Jansen, I don't know what we're going to do with that one because
he's thrown in the low 90s all of a sudden. Maybe it might be a good idea to get back to, and I don't know the right terminology. I'll just say get back to the cycle that he was on at the beginning of the season. Whatever he was doing at the beginning of the season that had him throwing 98 again, 95 at least, maybe we get back to doing that. Because if you're throwing not that hard and with not much movement, major league hitters are able to hit the ball with the fat part of the bat. And it often goes over the fence when they do that.
If this team is going to do anything in October, then it's probably going to be something like last postseason, in that people forget that Kenley Jansen was not the closer in the World Series.
From Friday night football to the county fair, from picnics in the park to hometown parades, from big cities to small towns, we are proud to serve our communities. Last year, we volunteered 19,000 hours and donated $5 million to local charities. Because lending a hand to a neighbor and investing in the people and places around us is the right thing to do. We are Park National Bank, and we are proud to serve you.
Member FDIC.
They had lost confidence.
Bullpen by committee.
Urias, he's the one who closed out game 7. He pitched the last couple innings. I just think that Kenley's like this game kind six. Of yeah. at this point, like a symbolic thing. He's been there. We pay him a lot of money and we're just going to use him in the regular season. And then postseason, we'll figure something out.
He's still pretty effective. He's blown two in a row. Where's my guy Bruised our Gratterall? Speaking of throwing hard.
Yeah, I don't know. He's on the shelf. I'm not sure.
We need him and his serious show chain back on the mound, because he was an important guy for us last year. Okay, so we've determined Greg can throw a football.
Yeah, he could play. He could do some sports. He's a decent athlete. Yeah, and he's really impressed by the fake water machine. The fake rain machine.
Yeah.
So they end their date on that note. Everything's great. He pretty much wrapped up his hometown with the Rose, and he'll probably win the show. But they have the group date, and it's really lame. They go into this little courtyard. There is an artist that I don't know. Maybe she's a big deal in artist circles, but her art is her brand is flowers that look like vaginas.
Yeah.
It's pretty overt.
You know, she's not – there was an artist photographer back in the 40s, I believe, Georgia O'Keeffe, that was the first to do this, that she was doing this long ago. But yeah, she does paintings, and they're flowers that look like labia, which I support. I like a nice labia.
Yeah, I mean, it was the show. I don't know. The show has to pick. It just has to pick a lane here. If we're gonna talk about sex positive, and we're basically gonna openly discuss people having sex in the fantasy suites, and you can't tiptoe around art that looks like a vagina. Like, all these guys were like afraid to say what the art was. Because she would be like, hey, what do you think of this painting? What do you think it is? And they would like tiptoe around it and try to not say it. Just say it, dude. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We've reached a point of the show where you could just openly state these things.
Yeah, they were so overly embarrassed and like, oh my God, it's like a painting that kind of looks like a pussy. Like, what? Who cares? Right. It's 2021. There's a sex positive bachelorette. Everybody except for Mike, the former ball player virgin, has seen one of those before, you know, at least one.
So they have the contestants do art for Katie. Art about Katie. See, and this it's just is awful.
I hate this kind of shit because I'm so bad at art.
But yeah, me too.
I would be awful at this.
So I guess they gave them an option, like choices of what kind of art you want to do. You didn't have to paint a picture. And single father Michael just strangely chose clay. Like if you get, I'm awful at art. Yeah. But if you gave me like a choice of things to do art with. Like clay would be the very last thing. Anything that I would do with clay would look like the gopher that Bill Murray made in Caddyshack.
D4 explosive. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But that's what it would look like.
Was it supposed to be like a sculpture? Because couldn't you like make a little bowl or something, like a little pinch pot? Like, here, I made this for you.
He ended up making something that he thought looked like her ass and said,
"Oh my god,
this is called the rear view."
Oh my god, how did I miss that? He should be fired.
And Justin or somebody was like, "I hope." Something like, I don't think Michael has seen her ass, but I really hope that that's not something about that's not what her ass looks like, or that's a horrible looking ass to say this is your ass. But anyways, Justin, remember, is the artist. He makes a boring picture. Blake basically takes this one off. He says, I don't do art. And he just, he scribbled a pure black picture. And then he starts saying sexual shit that I didn't even understand. It was so like cryptic and stupid. And who else was on the date? I think that was it, right? So, the significant shit happened at the cocktail hour after the date. Blake sits down with her, and like, Blake's really cocky. He knows that he's moving forward, and he just sits down. And he's like, "Hey, I think my mom's going to love you." And she's like, "Oh, wow. You're that confident that you're going to make it to next week, huh?" And he's like, "It's something I've been thinking about for a long time."
Yeah. Cause they were DM buddies.
Okay. That, and he has been on the show for what? 10 total days.
Yeah.
Maybe. If
yeah.
So. Yeah. So he's been thinking about a long time she's going to meet her mom or his mom.
That's a good point.
And that's when he tells her, basically, "I'm not in love with you. I think it's inevitable that I will be, but it's, I'm not." And he's the only one of the guys that hasn't been like, "I'm falling for you." So, but he plays that one straight. Justin showed up and he made a separate piece of art, just so boring. And I'm thinking, I know that musicians will go on and try to get discovered and stuff. And I'm thinking, it's not a complete reach to think that this guy's trying to be discovered like by some art dealer or somebody who's watching the show. Yeah. I mean, he made a painting for her.
His was really good,
I guess.
He's a painter. I mean, compared to the other guys, I don't know.
I have zero barometer for what good art is, but it looks like he does pretty good at doing flowers, and that's fine. Michael goes to her and he threw something in to this episode that he hasn't brought up before. So not only does he have a son, a single father of a son whose mother died of cancer, tragically, he just dropped in there like in passing that he takes care of her parents. Just in passing, he kind of drops that in. What? I'm thinking, holy shit, man. This guy's fucking heavy story.
Yeah. Just got heavier.
Gets the baggage. Just, I think if this was a flight, an airlines flight, he would have to pay another $80. That's another whole thing of baggage that he just added on to his story. And so anyways, he sits down with her to try to kind of get where she's at on this. And she says all the right things. She's like, "Look, when I think about us, I think about me bringing juice boxes to soccer games for your son, James, and us doing things, as three of us." And she's like, "To me, it's just like falling in love is the most important thing. And then everything else, we just figure it out." Like, again, she's telling this to somebody and he's falling for it. He loves it. He's loving what he hears. I just don't know. You think that, like, you and I speculated on this guy, as you just said earlier on in the show. It's once you reveal that you're a widow and you're the single dad and she died tragically and you're still in love with her and all this stuff, you've bought yourself a few shows but I think there's a time too when you have to think about his feelings and the fact that he's away from his son and everything,
yeah,
and just let him go.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very convenient out for her. Like it's a great one. Like, I think you're an amazing guy, but I want you to be back with your son because I don't want to take you much further than you should. And so I don't think he's going to be the one, but her saying this shit to him in this episode is pretty over the top and cruel and unusual.
Yeah.
Because I think we all think she's thinking about Greg, but yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I don't, you know, I mean, I don't see how there's any way it's not Greg.
Right.
It's been Greg from the jump.
It sure seems like it. And she, after talking to Andrew, as we had referred to earlier in the episode, like she gave Andrew kind of the same spiel about love and we'll figure it out and everything. He thought he was going to get the rose and the invite to hometowns. Michael A., the single father, gets the rose at the end of the cocktail hour. So that's two roses now, Greg and Michael A., okay?
Yep.
So now we have two roses to give out and three or four dudes left.
Yep.
Four dudes left.
Yep.
So the one-on-one date goes to Michael, the virgin. We haven't seen a whole lot of this guy other than the fact that he's a really nice guy. He got a lot of airtime in the first or second episode because they did some sexual shit.
Yep.
And he got real uncomfortable about it, but played it well. Baseball player, San Diego. He's a gym owner
who hasn't had a calorie in a few weeks. Piece in his life. He's 31. Like, right? Is he 31?
So we need clarity on this.
How do you not fall into one? Just one.
Let's get clarity on this because in this episode, Andrew says that he's talked to Michael about this and he's had girlfriends and they've done stuff, whatever that is. And then did you not? One of our Twitter followers, one of our fans sent us a link about him. He has slipped up like with oral sex or something. Yeah. What was the story? I read the headline.
It was vague. It was vague. I can't imagine he would be the one performing oral because he'd be like, ooh, yucky. Like, I just don't see him like really, you know, you have to have like a certain amount of confidence to give somebody that. So I assume he would like looked away for a minute and let a very nice girl perform oral sex on him.
Well, so I think he referred earlier in the season, or maybe it was last week, to this this massive amount of sperm that he has like just stored in him he needs to release. And I'm thinking, come on, the guy's obviously along the way ejaculated.
Your body has to get rid of it, Jason. So if you don't get rid of it yourself, and trust me, I've never had one of these, but I've heard of them. You have a nocturnal emission while you're sleeping. You have a sexual dream, and while you're having a sexual dream, your testes convulse. Not sure how it works exactly. And you ejaculate in your sleep, and you're like, ooh, yucky, messy mom. I don't know how he handles it. If you don't get it out, it's got to come out.
Nocturnal emission sounds like the album title like an alternative rock band.
It's like The Cure. Like The Cure did Fascinate. What's your favorite Cure album? Is it
Disintegration
or Fascination Street, or is it Nocturnal Emissions?
Right. Yeah, I was thinking more like a Weezer. Maybe what's, Weezer.
I like Head on the Door.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a date where they go out into the wilderness and they meet with this hippie chick who is a cuddle expert. Not sure how you get to a point where you call yourself a cuddle expert, but she is. And they basically just like get in these positions of cuddling. And I don't know. There's a position literally where he's
there was a cuddle coach. Of course, they always have to find things to make him uncomfortable.
Right, right.
And the cuddle,
that's what I'm saying.
The cuddle coach is like exactly how you, she's like a hippie. She's got long gray hair, you know, like she's exactly. And also like, nobody cuddles better than me. Like, how do I get that job? I'll show you how to cuddle.
Cuddle coach. Yeah. And she just basically teaches them a couple of like positions and then just leaves. So at some point, Katie literally gets up on him and straddles him. She sits on his lap as he's laying there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
oh yeah.
Virgin or not, maybe because he's a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
No way that she's not sitting on a full erection at that point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, so, he's fucking roped the fuck up.
So there's like this dynamic going on where you just have a feeling that she's sending him home. And there's this dude who's never had sex with a woman before, with a woman straddled on top of his midsection.
Yeah.
And it's just, and then they do the spooning thing where you know that he's in the same state, I'm sure.
Like, I don't think the Lord cares, bro. Like, I think he's fine with it. Just like,
right, like, but she has
try to hit it, bro.
She definitely has a smile on her face the entire time. She's definitely sitting on an erection
because she's teasing his hard dick that's never been used before, except the one time he accidentally had oral and regretted it.
So he says something that if it wasn't like a foregone conclusion that she was going to send him home, he says something that definitely sealed the deal. He said to us off camera, and then he says to her, "You remind me of my mom."
Fuck. Forgot about that. It was so, dude, it was so weird and so, there's nothing you could do to turn a woman off quicker. It was like, it's not having game is not even the beginning of trying to explain what this guy did. Like, you remind me of my mom?
Yeah. As they're cuddling, oh, he's telling her, God, you remind me of my mom.
Yes, he did say that.
So, yeah, that, you know, we've both said, and this isn't an opinion that isn't widely shared. It's like, if you're 31 and you're a virgin, there's something going on other than Jesus. There is something going on with his psychology.
We had another male virgin on The Bachelor once.
Yeah, kind of. You know? Whatever that was. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it's like there's something going on, and someone in that state of whatever psychology you're under, if you're a virgin at 31, I guess you would be prone to say something on your first date while you're cuddling with a woman. You remind me of my mom. So that pretty much sealed it for him. He told us off camera, he's like, looking forward to the dinner and we'll talk about our feelings and it'll be good. We didn't even get to the dinner. He was just getting over his arousal after the cuddling, when she came around the corner, she like disappeared for a minute, came around the corner crying and said, you are such an amazing guy, but we're not going to go any further.
Disgusting. Yeah. I mean, just like, it's not that he doesn't have, he's awkward around women. He's like, there's a chip there that's wired improperly, because everyone would know not to say such a weird thing. It's just crazy to me. Okay.
So the only thing I could think of when she canceled the dinner, she basically sent him home.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very emotional. I think everyone in the world watching, and him including, knew he was going home probably. But
Well, I mean, again, his virginity is Mike A's dead wife. Right? Like, you can't, you have to be kept around because you have this, it would look bad if they sent you home. If she sent you home just right. after learning you're a virgin, it's because you're a virgin right. and she's sex positive, which means she has to be accepting of people that are sex averse. So she had to keep him around for a while.
Blake had said back at the, they're back at the couch speculating on whether or not Michael would get a rose. And Blake called it. He's like, I just don't see him moving on after. I don't see him getting a rose. No. He's like, he said in a very thinly veiled way, he's like, Michael's just, he's by the book. He does things by the book. And Katie doesn't do things by the book, which was a very thinly veiled way of saying Michael doesn't have sex unless it's the right person. And Katie yeah. loves to have sex.
Yeah. She wants, look, if you're getting to the fantasy suites, Katie's no fool. She's sex positive. She's not going to get engaged to somebody that does not perform to the levels of her expectations. So she's going to sample the goods, and good for her.
So you're telling me that you don't think that she would be inclined to be like, Michael, there's a key here. Yeah. We could either go to our separate
yeah.
rooms
yeah.
or personally, I would love to hear about all the ways I remind you of your mom more. If we could yes. talk for the next 8 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's, for us keeping score, and the Bachelor has forced us to keep score because they're now very woke, and they're the show of change. And
yeah.
There are two men of color, and there yeah. are, five, white dudes. So, we go to the rose ceremony, and it comes down to, the single father has the rose, Greg has a rose. So there needs to be two more roses going, and there are three dudes left. There is the artist, Justin, there is Andrew, and there is Blake. She gives the rose to Blake right away because she needs him for the fantasy suite.
Yep.
So we're
she wants that dick. Like I've seen them make out, and there is sexual chemistry between them. And so she wants to hop on that Canadian wildlife manager hog and see what's up.
he'll be more than happy to do it. Cause he's been thinking about it a long time. And then, so we're down to two men of color. One's going home and one's staying.
Yeah.
Now the skeptic out
yeah.
there
yeah.
would say that the show said you need to bring a man of color to hometowns.
No, least. No.
The skeptic would
yeah.
say that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say
who knows.
Now,
who knows? Because if that were true, she would have kept Andrew. What's Justin even doing there?
To me,
they have no chemistry.
I always have this internal conversation when I'm watching the show. You keep around the person that's much easier to let go,
Yeah.
I think Justin yeah, will be an easy point. Out. Even that's though you're meeting point. Their family and stuff, he's such an easy out. Like,
yeah.
I don't buy any of that connection that they have. I don't buy it at all. I don't think he's very genuine
nope. or
it's not that he's a bad guy. He just, it's, I don't see it. So I think he's an easy out, and that's why she kept him.
Yeah.
The problem with Andrew was that, yeah, he's such a sweet dude. And, they have this thing going on where I really do think that, and she told him point blank, I don't want to meet your mom and your sister and then mislead them. I don't want to get to that point. So I'm letting you go now. That was another way of saying, I don't mind doing that to Justin.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's a good point.
So that, I think that's why she chose Justin. So that's the four, right? We
yep.
got, Blake for the fantasy suites. We got Greg because he's going to be the champ, the winner. The single dad's going to be the very complicated guy that she'll either string along or let go next week after she finds out that she's going to have to take care of his dead wife's parents.
Yep.
And then, Justin's just wall fodder at this point. So yeah, that's it. Yeah. Down to the final four.
Yeah. So hometowns, which means their family comes there and then they do something like, hey, I'm from Pittsburgh. Let's have a Permane Brothers sandwich or something. Or like,
yes,
you know, like they'll do like a fake thing of the hometown because they're quarantined. But then it'll come. Then it'll come down to, so who goes home next week? It'll be Michael.
To me, it's gonna be the single father or Justin.
Yeah, it's one of those two. I feel like she has more chemistry. Look, she's sex positive. Like, she's gonna want to sample the goods on Justin. That's probably why she's kept him around. So it's gonna be Justin. Your fantasy sweeters are gonna be Justin and Greg and
Blake.
And then Blake, she could get rid of Blake next week, but I don't think she will. I think she'll take Blake and Greg to the end. She'll pick Greg, as I've said since episode one. And I don't know. It's a pretty boring season, in my opinion.
No. I'll never say that it's a boring season. But anyways, those are the final four. So so next week we've got hometowns, and I think I saw the Men Tell All teased. I don't know if it's next week or if it's the following week.
Oh, that's exciting. But the old Men Tell All. We'll probably skip a show that week. I don't know. I don't know if I can sit through that. I forgot last week because our faithful listener, Kayfabe, was interested to know. When I went to the UFC in Las Vegas weekend before last for the Conor McGregor fight, we were in a box, so I was on the club level. I was getting a drink at the bar before we headed into our box, and I looked over and I'm like, who is that beautiful man over there? Because I saw a tall, radiant gentleman standing not far from me. And then I went, oh my God, it's Tyler from The Bachelor.
Oh, is that who it is?
Yeah, I saw him. He was gorgeous. And then my beautiful girlfriend, Cheyenne, was like, I'm like, hey, she doesn't watch The Bachelor. I go, hey, that's Tyler from The Bachelor. And she's like, oh, she's like, you got to go get a picture with him. And I'm like, I do not. And she's like, no, you got to do it for the pod. And I'm like, I will never do that. I would never ask anyone on the planet for a picture, much less Tyler from The Bachelor, who's standing over here with his model girlfriend. So I'm sorry to the listening audience that while I was sort of in the presence of Tyler from The Bachelor and can attest that he is quite good looking in real life and tall, I did not take the opportunity. I could not be goaded into going over and having a personal interaction with Tyler from The Bachelor because I felt it was a little too embarrassing.
Now we're talking about Tyler Cameron, who was jilted by Hannah Brown.
Hannah B.
And then there was speculation after the guy that she chose screwed her over,
Jed,
that they would be back, that she would go back to this guy, and it didn't work out.
I think they did. They like kind of milked it. Like they had some paparazzi dates, but he's like, I fuck supermodels now. Like Hannah Brown from The Bachelorette. Cool. I'm balls deep in Bella Hadid tonight.
Right. And he lives in Manhattan and he's roommates with Matt.
Something like that. Yeah. Yep. Well, he was in Las Vegas for the UFC 264, as was I. And we were, we were approximate to each other, but I did not take a picture with him. And I'm kind of regretting it now, actually. Like, I don't know why I didn't. It would have been good for the show. It would have been a funny thing, but
yeah, I
can't be the guy that asked a Bachelor contestant to take a picture with me. I just can't be that guy. I can't.
When I was working at the local radio station, we had two Bachelor contestants come through to do.
Oh yeah, you had Becca, virgin.
Becca came through. Yeah, Becca was hot. And then the farmer, Chris, the guy who
the murderer,
somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that murdered that other farmer.
Yeah. And both of those pictures are featured on my Instagram.
Yeah, but that was a different
Jason Stewart Sports.
They were Jason Stewart Sports, your Instagram, going a lot of hikes. You met them in a work type situation. You know, it wasn't like just walked up and tapped them on the shoulder and was like, hey, aren't you Tyler from The Bachelor? Yeah, as a matter of fact, who are you? Oh, I'm Brian. Can we take a picture? Yeah, but you're a dude. I know, right?
You don't think he would say, wait a minute, Brian? It's not Brian Beckner from The Bachelor Lifestyle, is it? You don't think he would have said that?
That would have been good. He's like, I've heard you. Like, I mean, I've always been a Tyler fan. The guy's gorgeous.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
Handsome in real life, too. Okay, we'll wrap it up there. For Jason Stewart, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been The Bachelor Lifestyle from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next time.
TBLS, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man, Jay Stew, and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus, you know there's Kate with a C, but she's known as Fancy Pop to you and me. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS.